morning in good hope. You hear me now? Well, the best thing it is to be in the house of the Lord today on Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day again to all you mothers. Amen. And make sure your family pamper you. As a matter of fact, take the whole week for Mother's Day because you deserve it. Well, it's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And I thank God for this day because of the epitome of a mother and a wife is standing by my side to present today's message to you.
Thank you, honey.
And I pray that what we said and done today will be pleasing to God, first of all, and it'll be edifying to you in your marriage, and you'll be able to experience God in a new and exciting way. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you so much for all of your goodness, your mercies, your love upon us. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us, Lord, from all unrighteousness. And thank you, Lord, for giving us the gift of everlasting life. We're so grateful for all that you are. Now, Lord, hide us behind the cross and let your word go forth and find fertile ground in the hearts and minds of the hearers so they may germinate and produce fruit that brings glory and honor to your holy and magnificent name. We thank you. We love you for all that you are. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, Good Hope. You know, God is sovereign. Absolutely nothing happens without his involvement. Did you all know that? He directed or allowed every husband and wife to come together for his divine purpose. Two different and very unique individuals, like Daryl and I, and like you and your spouse. One of you may be highly organized, and the other, the chair, is a valid storage system. One may be a communicator that always has to paint you a vivid, detailed picture. And the other gives a direct five-word reply. One of you likes highly emotional, profoundly relational, cinematic works. And the other likes 90 minutes of Taekwondo fighting scenes with subtitles. One spouse may be deeply analytical, and the other just wants to make a quick decision. But in God's omnipotence, he put two totally different people together to become one beautiful, powerful representation of Christ and his church.
And what's interesting is, during the dating period, most couples simply tolerate their differences, right? You know, whatever little problems or red flags come up, there's no problem at all. Honey, what you want for dinner? Wherever you want to go. So they give in, they put their best foot forward, and they're so excited about that special day, that wedding day, that they're willing to overlook their differences and conflicts. But it's interesting that they are so saturated in their love for each other, but after they say, I do, or death do us part, their dreams of living as husband and wife all of a sudden is filled with disappointment and unmet expectations. They have problems, they have communication issues, unresolved conflict, and they're experiencing a litany of problems and instead of experiencing the presence of God in their marriage. So our question to you this morning, my brothers and sisters, is this. Are you truly experiencing God in your marriage, or are you simply in survival mode, just getting by? Now, some of you all may be saying, well, we have a great marriage, but trust me, every marriage has its own difficulties. Every marririage has its problems. But there are many of you all who are struggling. You've gone through a struggle. You're in a struggle. And trust me, you will, if you live long enough, encounter a problem in your marriage. So do you sometimes feel like marriage is a daily problem in your life? Do you feel experiencing stress and fear and exhaustion? They're just trying to make it work. Are you burdened down with disappointments and unmet expectations? If so, there is hope for you that starts today. God has more in your plan for your marriage than you can ever imagine. And today we're going to explore four powerful truths that will lead you to experience God like never before in your marriage. And the title of today's message is this, very simple: how to experience God as a couple. And if you're going to experience God as a couple, the first thing you must understand is you must pursue his purpose. You can only experience God in your, as a couple, by living out his purpose for your marriage.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them.
And you can see in this text, verse 26 says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image.'" And then verse 27 says, "And he created man in his own image." And I often ask couples, what's the difference between these two passages? And some of them get it, some of them don't. But let me point it out to you to help you out today. The first passage, it says, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And you would think that 27 would say, "And they made man in their image." But it doesn't. So what happened to the day and hour? Well, they're still spoken of, but as one unit. So in point A on your outline, the purpose of marriage is to reflect the image of God in terms of plurality and oneness at the same time. And that's the image of God. The plurality of the Godhead and oneness functioning as one unit. B, the purpose of marriage is to reflect the image of God's character as seen in the person of Christ.
The Apostle Paul teaches that Christian marriage is a divine metaphor. Husbands are to love sacrificially, like Christ. Wives are to honor and respond like the church. Together, they tell the story of the gospel to a watching world. In reflecting Christ, couples are sharpened and sanctified and stretched. Forgiveness models Christ's grace. Selflessness mirrors Christ's love, and faithfulness displays God's covenant. If a wife is controlling, that marriage preaches a gospel of mistrust, one where fear overrides faith, submission is replaced with domination, and the beauty of the oneness Christ intends is distorted by the need to control. So whether you know it or not, your marriage is a sermon. You are preaching your marriage story every time you both encounter others. If a husband is passive, that marriage preaches a gospel of indifference and neglect, one where leadership is absent, love is silent, and Christ's sacrificial pursuit is misrepresented. Marriage should be a witness to unbelievers, a model for children and younger couples, a light in a culture that distorts love and gender and unity. So, what story is your marriage telling to a watching world?
And the truth of the matter is, some men are passive because we want to keep peace. We can't handle the emotions of our wives. And the truth of the matter is, not only that just for men, but for couples over, it's just a common misunderstanding of what the purpose of marriage is all about. I married Cynthia on July 28, 1984. I was 22 years old. And I thought I knew what the purpose of marriage was. I was told a man runs his house, he provides for his family, and he protects his family. That's the purpose. That was in my mindset. So I worked hard, I paid bills, and I provided for my wife. But in my mind, no one told me how to handle this. No one told me how to handle that. I wasn't trained on how to deal with that. And I wasn't trained on how to deal with her emotions. And so, and she was, hey, listen, she was quicker than I am in terms of what she would say. She was much quicker in terms of how she processed information. And when we got into an argument, I was no match for my wife. So I got smart, y'all. I brought a little spiral notebook tablet, pocket notebook, and I started writing things down that she did, keeping record. So when we got to the next argument, on December the 8th, 9:49 Central Standard Time, you said this, you did that, and I went down this litany of stuff. And also, she just started crying. And I said, why are you crying? She said, you hurt me. You just hurt me. And that broke my heart, y'all. And I said, never again. Because love does not take into account a wrong suffered. So I was not loving my wife as I should. I was failing as a husband. And I had a misunderstanding of what the purpose of marriage was all about. But if you're going to experience God in your marriage, you must pursue your purpose. What is that purpose? Our purpose in life, your purpose, my purpose in life, is to glorify God, to please God. How do you glorify God? By conforming to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. What does that look like? It's a life of grace, mercy, unconditional love, patience, long-suffering, meaning you put up with the other person. It's a life of forgiveness, and tender, compassionate towards someone else. And when you have a husband and wife reflecting the image of Christ in that way, it's a mere reflection of the perfection of God's image. So if you're going to experience God in your marriage, you must pursue your purpose. Secondly, if you're going to experience God in your marriage, you must practice obedience. You can experience God as a couple by walking daily in obedience to his word.
John 14:21 tells us, the one who has my commands keeps them, and the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him.
I love this text. In essence, this text says, Jesus says that the Father and the Son will love him who knows and obeys his word. And not only that, Jesus says he will reveal himself to the one who is obedient to his word. He said those who obey his commandments. What commandments is Jesus referring to? Jesus says the commandment that he gives that we love one another just as he has loved us. It says greater love has no one has than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Here's a pop quiz for you. I'm going to give you a pop quiz, and you can fill in the blanks yourself. Jesus died for our sins. And because he died for our sins have been forgiven. Because our sins are forgiven, we have a relationship with the Amen. I brought that up, you all, because one of the most common areas I've found in many troubled marriages is in the area of unforgiveness. Jesus laid down his life so that our sins can be forgiven, but yet we struggle because we're unwilling to forgive our spouse for our past hurts and injuries. And when you are disobedient in your marriage, that's a roadblock to you experiencing God in an up close and personal way. Let me give you an example of what I mean. I played softball for 25 years. Me and softball, slow pitch softball. Loved it. Loved the game. And I was a pretty good outfielder. And as an outfielder in baseball, outfielder never stands like this. They stand like this. And when the ball's hit, they typically run back, looking back behind them or running forward to catch the fly, pop fly. So I was in the hood, y'all, playing softball with some guys. Caught myself teaching them a lesson, right? And I'm in the outfield. A guy hit a ball deep in the outfield. And I'm running, and running back, and boom, I ran into a telephone pole. Busted lip. Painful. What am I saying? I'm saying is we cannot run to where God wants us to be if we keep looking back at what has happened in our past. We find ourselves running into telephone poles in our marriage, roadblocks in our marriage, and we can't get to where God wants us to be because of those poles in our lives. What about anger? Is a telephone pole that causes disunity, refusing to communicate, exchanging insult for insult, resentment, withholding intimacy, sleeping in separate bedrooms. It's a telephone pole in your marriage. It keeps you from being where God wants you to be. And for it keeps you from experiencing God in an up close and personal way.
Obedience to God is the key to fulfilling your role as husband or wife. Jesus made it clear that love for him is expressed through obedience. That same obedience shapes how we love, how we lead, how we submit and respect in marriage. When both spouses walk in obedience to God, they become accountable not only to God, but to one another. Disobedience weakens spiritual accountability and opens the door to conflict, pride, distance, and unforgiveness. Obedience empowers you to resolve conflict in humility instead of fracturing the marriage. And did you know that it is in the context of marriage that all of your weaknesses are exposed? Your impatience, pride, selfishness, insecurity, wounds from the past, and inadequate coping skills can no longer hide. Your spouse sees what others miss, not to shame you, but to refine you.
Amen.
Why? Because God uses marriage to sanctify you. He uses the tension, the testing, the uncomfortable conversations, and the daily demands of selflessness to transform you into the image of Christ. In the context of marriage, your anger is tested so you can learn gentleness. Your fear is surfaced so you can grow in faith. Your control issues are confronted so you can learn how to surrender. Your pride is challenged so you can learn how to walk in humility. And this is not a punishment, it's purpose. God designed marriage as a place where transformations happens, not in isolation, but in intimacy.
Amen. Well said, Sister Rose. And let me say this now. You've heard the old saying that practice makes perfect. But that's not so with obedience now. When it comes to obedience, practice makes progress, not perfection. Because we're always a work in progress as we travel this Christian journey together as husband and wife. So if you're going to experience God in your marriage, you must pursue your purpose. You must practice obedience. And thirdly, you must pray without ceasing. You can experience God as a couple in your marriage by spending constant time in prayer and listening to God's voice.
The passage, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18, says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Now, be mindful. Now, this text is not saying that we ought to always be mumbling prayer. It doesn't say that. But our prayers need to be constantly reoccurring, that we're always on the prayer line with God, because we are dependent on God, and we are dependent worshipers of God, and we are insufficient in and of ourselves, and there's never a business signal when it comes to praying to God. That's our line of communication to God.
Well, I have to admit that on more than one occasion, I have said to Daryl, why did you make that decision?
I'm the man.
And in his true counselor's nature, he always reminds me, never ask why questions. They don't lead to peace. But I wasn't just curious. I was worried that his decision was just not the right one. I was convinced that my way made more sense. And of course, I had overanalyzed the situation, and in my mind, I landed on the better answer. But God didn't call me to control. He called me to trust and to pray. So instead of staying stuck in anxiety, I began to ask God to teach me how to have a submissive, trusting heart. As I brought my concerns to the Lord in prayer, I experienced God in a deep, personal way. And God led me to Philippians 4, 6, and 7, reminding me, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So I realized after that I was forfeiting peace for worry. I told God I would choose trust and I would practice trust. And when I prayed consistently with thanksgiving, his peace quieted my anxious heart and the decisions that he made that I did not always agree with. But God doesn't promise I'll always understand. But he does promise that when I pray and give thanks in all things, he will guard my heart. I realize, and I say this often to myself, I say, Cynthia, it doesn't have to make sense to you.
I've said that too.
I may not always get it, but I can rest in peace knowing that God's got it.
There's an old hymn that says, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, oh, blessed Savior, and I come to thee. We need to rely on God. We are dependent worshipers. We created to be dependent worshipers. God made Adam out of the dust, but Adam couldn't breathe on his own. So God had to breathe into his nostrils. God had created the Garden of Eden, but Adam, they had no clue where it was. So God had to place him in the garden. And then as he named the animals, he discovered that he was lacking something that he could not provide for himself. So he had to depend on God. And once Adam got the message, God said, go to sleep, Adam. Now that you got the message that you need something that you cannot provide, you have to depend on me. Prayer is just simply acknowledging our dependence upon God, that our reliance upon God to provide for what we need. We need to pray for ourselves, pray for our spouse, pray for our children, pray for our family, and ask God for God's protection, his guidance, his instructions, his healing, and thanking God for what he's already done. Have you been blessed today by God? Have there been times you prayed and God answered your prayer? Have there been times in your life where God showed up and showed out? Has there been times in your life that God made a way when there was no way? Is there at least one thing that you have to be thankful for that you prayed about that God has answered? And I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, if you want to experience God, you have to pray constantly and consistently. And our last point, if you're going to experience God as a couple, you must partner in service. You can experience God as a couple by serving as one in his kingdom.
1 Peter 4, 10 through 11 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
And I will say this, nothing cultivates spiritual growth more than serving. Let me say this again. Nothing cultivates spiritual growth in a marriage more than actual serving in God's kingdom, serving in ministry to some degree. Because when you are serving in ministry, you are connecting with other Christians, and you're also sharing the gospel. And then you're also held accountable. You're establishing a relationship with other people. And people you serve with know when something's wrong with you. You're sharing your life with them. They're sharing their life with you. And you're locking arms together. You're walking through the process of spiritual growth and healing. There's a story I want to share with you. You all may not know this about me. But I'm a gardener. I love gardening. I have some cucumbers growing right now in the backyard. Okra. I tried my hand at watermelons a couple of times and cantaloupe. But what I learned about watermelon, if you can show that on the screen here, each watermelon starts as a beautiful flower on a branch that's connected to the same vine. But to produce fruit now, this flower has to remain connected to the vine, because it's through that vine where that flower is able to receive nutrients and nourishment that it needs to produce fruit. But not only that, the flower has to pollinate with other flowers. What I mean by pollinate? That is that some of the pollen from one flower has to come in contact with the other flower to produce fruit. And when that fruit is fully mature, it will drop seeds that will eventually germinate to produce some of the same. Jesus says in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So what am I saying? I'm saying is, when you're experiencing God as a couple in your marriage, Jesus is the vine and you are the branches. You got to stay connected to the vine. You got to, not in terms of just relationship, but in terms of fellowship and walking in obedience to his word. And when you use your gifts to serve and edify others, all you're doing is pollinating. You are coming into contact with other Christians and you are rubbing off on each other. You're giving what God has given you in your marriage for the betterment of someone else. You, if you are working it through your communication problems, you can share with your story with other people to help them in their communication issues. Unresolved conflict. You can help couples resolve their conflict, how you resolve conflict in your life. Unforgiveness, bitterness, things that happen in your life, you're only pollinating other Christians and locking on with them and serving them so that you can help them become all that that God would help them to be, and while also contributing to your own spiritual growth. And when the fruit is fully mature, it drops seeds. Watch this now. James says, "The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Not only are you edifying other Christians as you serve them, you're edifying your own marriage, but you're also planting seeds of righteousness. And that seed is the righteousness of Christ, the gospel of Christ, that he died for our sins. He rose from the dead, and he's on the throne with all power in his hand. Because of what he has done, our sins have been forgiven, and we have a relationship with God, and we have the gift of everlasting life. Yes, each one of us are on a different branch, but we're all connected to the same vine. Your branch is not my branch. What I mean is, your life context, your marriage context is not the same as ours. Your marital problem that you may be going through right now is not exactly the same as ours. You're on a different branch, but glory be to God that we're on the same vine. We're on the same vine, and we can lock arms with each other and pollinate each other and help each other to grow and become all that God would have us to be. So if you're going to experience God as a couple, you must do what? Pursue his purpose. Practice obedience. Pray without ceasing. And partner in service. Pursue his what? Purpose. Practice what? Pray without what? And partner in service. We're going to tell you our story here. How Cynthia and I have experienced God as a couple in our lives. Pastor did share some of it. He doesn't know all the story. But we started off, like I said, didn't know anything much about marriage. Came to Good Hope. She was here 2 years before I got here. And I heard Cofield preach, and I said, "Oh, yes, that's what I want to hear." And then next Sunday, the second time, I just walked up. I look back at her and she's like this. Oh, look at here, my baby. Join the church. Because listen, y'all, Sunday, it was a church, the Church of Christ. I went to church. And then I went home and watched the football games at 12 with my cowboy Kool-Aid. Now, some of y'all may not know what that is, but you'll get it later. And so here I am at Good Hope, and Pastor entrusted us to lead the men's ministry the men's ministry and women's ministry together. And then Pastor Frank McGee came on and said, I want you all to start a marriage ministry. What? A marriage ministry? Yes. And I want you to read this book, The Marriage Repair Kit. This is the first book that we received about marriage. We received it from Pastor McGee. My wife told me not to show this book, y'all. She said it looked kind of tacky, but I'm the man. And so we read this book. He said, read it and start classes. So we started teaching. And Pastor Cofield always encouraged us, you know, to prepare ourselves, to equip ourselves for the work of service. We started growing. And then years later of counseling cases, we've taken over 400 counseling cases, y'all, 400 counseling cases. And then the fruit that God has produced, some of y'all are sitting right here, that we've touched your life, that God used us to touch your life in one way or another, all of you. In one way or another, God has used us in a mighty way to the point where as God led us from using this book right here to using our own book, Marriage Without Misery by Cynthia and Daryl Rose. Amen. The Lord used us. And now we're using our own book that God gave us to counsel couples. Not only that, y'all, God has allowed us to minister, not just at Good Hope, but we've spoken at conferences internationally, at the West Indies, Baptist Fellowship, which is made up of pastors and leaders along the Caribbean. We've taught classes in Tennessee, Chattanooga. We taught classes in Fort Worth. So God is using us in a mighty, mighty way, and he's opening doors. And we have over 100 books, y'all, in Ghana being used by Mark Sloan, who's teaching at seminary level. So I thank God. I'm not bragging. Some of you might say, oh, he's bragging. No, I'm not bragging, but I am bragging on the Lord. Oh, yes, I'm exalting God for all God has done in our marriage and still doing in our marriage. And, baby, let me say this to you. I love you so much. This woman right here, I would not be the man that I am today without this woman, magnificent woman. And I thank you for putting up with me and my pride, arrogance. She does say that to me sometimes. My arrogance. And I thank you. And you know, and you carried the load with me through my studies all these years, made sacrifices for me, supported me, encouraged me, admonished me in love. And you know I ain't about nothing. But you are my everything. And I thank God for you. Let us pray. Grace, Lord, thank you so much for allowing us this opportunity, Lord, to share how to experience you. And Lord, our life is a testimony. But Lord, we know that what you have done in and through my wife, Cynthia, you can do far greater things to everyone at the sound of my voice in their marriage and even in their lives if they're not married. So, Lord, we ask that what we have said and shared has glorified you and found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of everyone who hears, even those who are live streaming, that they seek to experience you like never before by pursuing your purpose, by practicing obedience and loving others, by praying without ceasing, and by partnering in service in your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, as all said and done, that you get the glory that you alone so rightly deserve. We thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.